Seeing that boat pulling into the nearest Stockdale makes me wonder why you want to go anywhere when you live somewhere like here.
That's a good question, and I'm happy here almost every day of the year because the lake changes color depending on the time of day, the time of season, and the sky. It's always different, and I just love watching the trees either nearby or on the other side of the lake changing color, or in winter, the snow line moving up and down.
That's Dale Bechtel, a colleague of mine. He grew up in Canada and has lived in Switzerland for about 30 years. We've been sitting on his deck, enjoying the amazing view of Lake Thun in the Bernese Alps. But as we're sitting here thinking about the holiday season coming up, we're like a lot of other people, wishing they could be somewhere else, to be close to family or friends in other parts of the world.
I had minor knee surgery a few years ago, and I had time to think, and I was sitting here on my deck, and I wondered why I'm still so attached to those friends from college. I mean, we were friends decades ago, and only for a short period. But it did make me think, is there something wrong with me that I'm still so attached to them after all these decades? So I started, looking into it because I had this time sitting around not doing much of anything else.
So we're dedicating the upcoming episodes to a special three-part series to find out more about the connection between nostalgia and homesickness. We'll travel back in time to join two backpackers exploring Europe in the 80s and how they're connected to Swiss mercenaries hitting the road back in the 17th century. I'm Susan Masika, and this is The Swiss Connection, a Swiss Info production. Our story starts with Dale, recovering from knee surgery a few years ago and wondering why he loves to reminisce.
Well, because I had all this time to think about it, I decided to look into it and try to understand, what is this nostalgia thing? Why am I so nostalgic? What are the roots of this?
And is there much that's been written on the subject? Or
There are a lot of rabbit holes when you start looking into nostalgia, and I went down quite a few of them. And what really surprised me was that if you go back far enough, nostalgia is connected to homesickness. And what I really didn't know, Switzerland.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that because this is the Swiss Connection. And I was thinking about you growing up in Canada and your friends and thinking about being homesick. And I thought, what's the Swiss part?
I'll come to that. But first, what it really got me thinking about was my first most serious bout of homesickness. And that all happened when I set out with one of these old college friends to cycle across Europe one summer.
The year was 1982, and Dale was 21. He and his friend Tony were just out of college. These two young Canadians reserved their whole summer for exploring Europe, and they certainly had some adventures. Dale and Tony really bonded all those years ago, and they're still in touch today.
Hey, Dale, how are you? Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Tony. Good. Great to hear from you. Hey, listen, I was looking forward to seeing you and the other guys in person this year, but, I had to cancel my plans to come home, like many people.
Hey, you never know. I may come and see you because, like most people, this whole thing has got me wanting to travel. And of course, you want the things you can't have. And of course, I think that's really, really what I'm missing a great deal right now. So,
maybe we could do at least a leg of our, that bike trip that we did 38 years ago. That would be really great.
That would be amazing. And it's funny because I have been thinking of that. And I know we even talked about it last year we joked about it. I wouldn't even say we sort of talked about it, but so.
Well, to take me back to, what I can't remember. How did we come up with the idea to cycle across Europe? I really cannot remember. I have no idea how that happened, how we came up with that idea.
Well, I guess we were close to graduating you said, what are you doing after grad? Like, are you going anywhere? And I said, well, I'm planning to go to Europe to cycle. You probably thought about it for about 10 seconds and said, do you mind if I come along? And I think that's how casual you were about it. And I think to a degree, that's how casual we were about the whole notion of cycling around Europe. And then we probably spent all of maybe like 3 hours planning.
Well, what? How did we choose the route? I mean, my gosh, Amsterdam all the way south through the Alps, through southern Europe to Greece and back up again. I mean, how did we decide on that route? That's crazy.
Well, I don't think there was any real planning. And I think the whole notion of Amsterdam to Athens, I think it just sounded good. It sounded like a headline. And to be honest, I don't think we had any idea of, you know, how rigorous the cycling would be. That was
that's the funny thing, because I was working as an intern at the CBC, and we managed to get ourselves interviewed on a radio program, and the host asked us, aren't you worried about all the ups and downs and going through the mountains? And I, smugly said, we looked at the map and it seems to be all downhill from Amsterdam to Greece. Yeah.
And I would say that it was all downhill when we got there and realized how difficult it was. Because those first few days were just brutal. And
I don't think we had even cycled up a local hill in Toronto to train for this trip.
No. Let me just remind you of those early days.
I've been trying to forget.
Yeah.
Tell me.
And I can't remember if it was cold or allergies, but you were completely stuffed up. And then on the flight, you just got worse. And then I remember as the plane started descending, you just puffed up even more. Your eyes got like completely closed up. And then when we landed, you were a mess. And then we had to put our bikes together, which neither of us are super mechanically inclined, or were at that point anyway. And you misthreaded your pedal on your bike. And because what happened was, because you misthreaded it, and then of course all the riding as you rode, it basically broke the threads and your pedal fell off. Now that didn't happen until I think the second day.
And I gave up after less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was actually 10 days. So.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing, right? I'm trying to stretch it to 2 weeks and you're taking me back down and telling me what it really was. It was only 10 days.
The thing is, what Dale was suffering from was more than allergies and bike problems. It was something much worse than that, and it still haunts him today.
Despite all of the problems, those could be overcome, right? I mean, eventually you fix the bike, the allergies go away. I was thrown a bit, I guess, by the strangeness of old Europe. I'd never been across the ocean before. And I started feeling something in the pit of my stomach that I couldn't describe. It was just this hollow feeling. It was like something was eating away at me. And I don't know if you've ever felt that before, but I was becoming very anxious. I stopped speaking to Tony. I just really, got into myself, and I really missed everybody and everything back home. I was really, it was just up and down. And, it was so debilitating that I really lost my appetite.
At what point did you decide, that's it, I've got to go home?
Yeah, by that point, we were in the northeastern corner of France, where France kind of juts into Germany. It was a town called Sarrebourg, and I'll never, never, ever forget that place because, I took that momentous decision to really abandon Tony. Threw my, bike and bags on a train, went to Paris, flew home, and he carried on his own. But it was the most embarrassing moment of my life. And you know what, Susan? The only reason that I've started telling people about it is because of this research. It's something that I really kept to myself. Of course, Tony knows about it. All these years.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. I mean, it does sound extraordinary. A young man, it sounds like a trip of a young lifetime, and to just pull the plug on it.
Well, it was 10 days of a lifetime, you know, it really was, that I'll never forget. That takes me back to you know, my investigation into nostalgia and its connection with homesickness. And you know, you wouldn't believe what I found out, but I discovered that in that very place where I was homesick, that people hundreds of years ago actually were becoming homesick as well. But that has brought me full circle because, you know, sitting here on my deck, thinking about nostalgia, looking into nostalgia, going into those rabbit holes, I discovered that its very origin goes back to really close to the place where I was homesick. And it was this young medical student who was confronted or seeing or hearing about Swiss soldiers, actually, Swiss mercenaries going off to fight and going off to fight in the part of Europe that I was crossing on my bike. A lot of them became homesick. And so, you know, he decided to study homesickness.
There came to my mind the stories of certain youths that, unless they had been brought back to their native land, whether in a fever or consumed by the wasting disease, they had met their last day on foreign shores. Hence, I judged that this disease deserved to be described and expounded more fully.
So the guy who wrote that, his name was Johannes Hofer. And it was, well, how long ago was it? It was a little bit over 300 years ago. He was only 19 years of age. And what hasn't changed over the years, students are looking around. If they're at university, they need something to write about, right? So he had to find a subject for his dissertation. He notices soldiers passing in the streets of Basel, where he's going to university, studying medicine. And he also hears, or even sees, experiences that many of them are homesick. And what he realizes is that homesick is actually a Swiss-German word. He wasn't Swiss-German, actually. He lived just across the border in Mulhouse, but studying in Basel. And he knew this word Heimweh, which had been in the Swiss vocabulary for only a few decades. And so, anyways, he's fascinated by the wondering why they would become homesick. And he decided to write his paper on it and realized that Heimweh isn't necessarily a medical description. It's not really considered a disease. And if you wanted to make it one, you'd have to come up with a new name for it. And so, guess what? He invents a new name. And I think you can probably guess what the new name is.
Nostalgia?
Greek in origin, and indeed composed of two sounds, the one of which is nostos, return to the native land, the other, algos, signifies suffering or grief.
Hofer found that once these soldiers were, you know, away from their Alps, assuming, which wasn't necessarily correct, that they all came from the mountains around here, they suffered from what he called the peculiar Swiss ailment, Heimweh, or as we know it, homesickness. What you have to realize, Susan, war was extremely commonplace during Hofer's time. And Swiss soldiers or mercenaries, you know, they really were involved in most battles across Europe. They even fought on opposite sides. Whoever was paying them, they would fight for them.
Back then, the majority of Swiss people were poor, scratching a living from the land. That poverty lingered for generations, and Switzerland didn't become a wealthy nation until the second half of the 20th century.
I wanted to know more about Hofer, and I looked at his hometown of Mulhouse, just across the Swiss border in what is today France, and discovered that when he was only 5 years old, there was a skirmish between, you know, two warring parties. And the one side, the troops of the one side retreated into the center of town. And I can just imagine him as a five-year-old, you know, as a young boy, seeing these soldiers with their muskets and possibly swords and, I don't know, whatever armor they were wearing. He must have been really, really impressed.
Well, it's fun sitting here and hearing these stories and admiring the view, but it is getting a little bit chilly.
Why don't we go in and have some tea?
Sounds good.
There were the officers who came round to the pubs and eyed up the men they thought might be useful and made sure they were given enough wine to make it easier to convince them to sign up. And from that moment on, they didn't have a choice.
So what happens when you take the man away from the mountain? Next time on The Swiss Connection, we're going to explore what happens to those men, those mercenaries, when you take them far away from the Alps. Even a simple song could make them abandon their missions. Stay with us for the second installment of our nostalgia series, as Dale tries to find out what he had in common with many of those Swiss soldiers who lived so long ago. You can read more about our series and the history of the Swiss mercenaries and even homesickness all on our website at swissinfo.ch. I'm Susan Masika, and this is The Swiss Connection. This episode was reported and produced by me and Dale Bechtel. Our music is by Michele Andina, and our sound engineer is Danny Wheeler. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We'll be dropping new episodes every 2 weeks or so. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Fabio Canich. I'm the host of another Swiss Info podcast, The Geldcast. I'm a journalist and lecturer on international monetary policies. In my podcast, I talk to finance experts, politicians, and people in the banking industries on money-related topics. This podcast is from the land of money, Switzerland. It is published bi-weekly on YouTube. Highly valuable content, but free to listen to.